Canadian.
Yeah, you've got your sexy, husky, sick voice.
I know. I've been doing a lot of shows and a lot of, I think it's the driving too. It might also, it adds to the how tired I am. So it makes me a little scratchy.
If you're running AC maybe as well in the car, that's not good for you, right?
Which one? Oh, the AC? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the air is really dry. And so I did. I think it was Wednesday, I did Solvang with Brian Regan.
Yeah.
And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I did Irvine. And tonight is Sunday, and I am doing Oxnard, the PAC.
And, that's a good week.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an awesome week. And Brian Regan's new stuff is adorable and hilarious and awesome. He does not, he is a meat and potatoes guy.
Right? Yeah.
So he has started doing material, and I've known him now, I think, 10 years, right?
Yeah.
And he has started doing material about the foods he doesn't enjoy, and it in a very Brian Regan way. So the writing's great, and then it's just this physical, like, don't make me. And you're like, nobody's making you. And he's like, you're wrong. Someone's making me. But I don't want to ruin the bit, right? So it's, because it's not really about that, but that's the vibe, right? Because I don't want to blow, just, you get a chance to see Brian Regan do the standing up of comedy. Do not run. Don't walk.
Jackie, he looks so Irish now. It's hilarious. Yeah. The classic to me Irish guy, older guy, is a ton of white hair, right? Like, they don't go bald. They keep, my dad was that way. My uncle was that way. Like, the Ted Kennedy, you know, had Bobby and JFK lived, they would have had, like, a giant head of thick white hair. And so Brian has that. And
But it is stone cold white. Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't look Irish looking before. Like, to me, Irish looking before was like Conan, right? But there's also the older Irish guy, which is just that fucking thick white hair. And a picture of him, I'm like, oh my God, he's family again.
Oh my God. He has this joke about his little brother too. His youngest brother had red hair.
Yeah.
And I'll just tell you the setup, which is, you know, and red hair, and he's the, Terry, his youngest brother, is the youngest of eight. Cause Brian's fourth of eight.
Shit.
Yeah, wow. Super Irish and Irish Catholic.
That's the last generation of Irish people that had a ton of kids, that, you know, those Irish parents. Like, my ex-boyfriend, one of eight as well. The parents were from Ireland. One of nine, actually. It was like...
We were considered, you know, my mother died before she could have the other three. we had six. it's just this whole thing about how, when you're in that big of a family, you get pushed around by your older siblings, and that energy has to go somewhere, and it went down. And he has no idea how Terry lived, because he was the youngest, and he had red hair, and he was just like, you know, red hair is amazing. Did we tell him that? No, of course not. And so it was, it's another great bit.
That's cool.
I think that one might be cool. It's either on his last Netflix special, or it's ready for prime time, right? It's ready for next album. So
cool. I am I'm getting texts from people. I am in Toronto, and
that's awesome. You know, I love it.
Yeah. There's a million events happening this weekend. So all the drivers in the driving industry, which is, this is a huge industry, just taking artists to venues. It's like a full job that people have for 40 years, right?
Yeah.
Like, when I was here in April, we were based in Toronto, but we kept doing shows that were like an hour or two away. And we had one driver the whole time, and he'd driven the Rolling Stones, and he had stories about all these musicians and stuff, right? So you're not dealing with Uber drivers. You're dealing, like, with professional van drivers and stuff.
Yeah. That,
used to loading equipment and whatever. So anyway, a lot of shit's happening in Toronto this week. So they have a shortage, right? There's not that many available.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, we're all several, we'll have several comics in a van at many different venues at different times. So the pickup times are like crazy early. Like, you know, like I have a 7 o'clock show. It's a 5 p.m. pickup. I was like, but no, please. I don't want to be at a comedy club for an hour and a half. You know, where
Is it a comedy club or is it walkable?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it walkable?
No, but I think I'll just take an Uber for my own sanity, you know?
Right. That's worth every dime. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll get there at 6:30 like a normal comic, and then we will live our lives. You will not have had to sit around for an hour and a half. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes my show worse because I just start getting in my, like, I need my little private little cocoon time in my hotel room where everything's quiet and it's right before the show. So I have my energy up. And that's what I need. And so I am going to make sure I have that. I didn't. Oh, and then on Thursday, the venue was on, there's this street called Dundas, D-U-N-D-A-S, Dundas. And it's super long, as many streets are in Toronto, like miles long.
In major cities, yes. There are long cities.
I think Queen Street is like one of the longest in the world, right? But it's split into two, east and west. I don't know why they just don't start the numbers at zero and just keep going up. Why cities in general do, all right, we're stopping in the midway and now we're calling this one West Dundas and we're starting at one again, okay? And so, Jackie, what are you doing with your hair?
I have to be with my hair. It hurts. Anyway, go. But just, I'm not saying that the length of streets is not a compelling narrative. I want to hear it, but I did have to do something with my hair.
I can't wait to hear your little story.
Okay? I know my little story is just as it has a Chipotle in it. You want to? Okay, you keep going. Here, let's hear it.
I don't even know where it was anymore.
Thursday. It's a long
story, Jackie.
No, it's a long. It's a long street. It's Thursday. Let me do some foreshadowing. I think you did some foreshadowing. I'm going to guess dropped you off in the wrong part of it.
Yes, drop me off in East Dundas, that address. Well, we pulled up to a house. It's like, oh, I don't think this is the rock. And Otsko and her husband Ryan were in the car, and they were also super late to their show. And so it just like, it was like a, you know, we were 30 minutes late instead of an hour early.
Right.
And just like immediately get up on the stage. And I was, you know, I'm like, I need my time. I need my little pockets of time where I organize myself and get centered. So,
right. Because it turns out it's a job. There's a task. There is some prep. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not just, hey, walk out of a, you know, a limo and onto the stage and wackiness ensues.
Yeah.
You have to.
Oh, that's for some people. Believe me, there's limo acts, but I'm a van act. That's what I've learned in my career.
Right. Well, the van act doesn't allow you the solo time. A limo act, you are right, allows you, you're alone in a limo. You put that thing up in between you and the guy in the front. You don't have to talk to that person.
Yeah.
And you can stare deeply into your set list. You know, the first time I opened for Brian, the Live Nation guy, I was looking at my set list before I went up. I was pacing and looking at my set list. That is my MO. And so then I went up and turns out it's stand-up comedy. So I did well. I had been doing it for some time. So I get off stage and Brian goes up and the Live Nation guy, really sweet guy, but hilarious first line for him to say. He was like, Brian and I were really worried that it was not going to go well because of how deeply you were looking at your set list. And I'm like, I doubt that. I doubt that Brian Regan doesn't know what a comic looking at their set list looks
like. Yeah, I think he roped Brian into his opinion.
Into his tiny panic of what it was going to be like. Because it was my first time opening for him. So maybe they thought that my brain was not attached to my mouth, that I was always just going to start cunt, fuck, suck, you know what? I went, no, there's a 9-year-old in the second row.
You're tempted. Obviously, every time you're on stage, you want to say it. One day you
will. It used to throw me a little bit. I used to be like, be careful, be careful. I used to actually think that. And now I'm like, okay, it's fine. You don't have to swear. I just pick, and I pick chunks that aren't cursy. Yeah. And of course, obviously no sex and no bodily functions. You know, my big poop chunk. I have no big poop chunk. I have a big poop chunk that comes out of my butt sometimes. Hi, I've been alone for hours. I love.
I don't want to hear this.
You and Kyle, you know, synchronized swimming went down with both of your heads.
Yeah, because guess what? At least I'm talking about a street. You're talking about shit. And you're saying these are equal conversationally. No, they're not. Okay.
That isn't my story. That isn't my story I was going to tell you. Because it is comparable to getting there super early. Because Solvang, I stayed. I had a hotel. I stayed. There was kites. There was fudge. It was a beautiful Danish town that I thought was Dutch. Anyway, no one was happy that I mixed that up. And then I didn't mix it up on stage, which is good. But so Solvang is approximately 2.5-3 hours from where I live. And so I do that. And then the next day, I drive home. And then I have to drive to Irvine. And this is on a Thursday. And so to get there for a 7:30 show, and you want to be there at like 7.
Oh God.
6:45. There's no good time to leave Los Angeles to get to Irvine. So I left at 2.
That seems like a bad.
I got there at 4:30. And that happened, I think it was, yeah. I think, yeah, Thursday and Friday it happened that it took 2.5 hours. It only takes 1.06, 1 hour, less than 10 minutes to get back home because that's 10 o'clock at night. But but for 3 days, I've been back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then tonight is Oxnard, which is only 1 hour from where I live. And then I come home and I'm done.
Nice. Nice.
But I did, there was a boat ton of sitting around where I went to, like, it's on UC Irvine, the Barclay Theater. And so I went across the street to where there was a Trader Joe's and a fake Target and a bunch of boba places because it's for college kids, right?
Yeah.
There's literally like 6 restaurants that sell boba tea.
Disgusting, and I didn't know things were going to be coming up in my throat when I took my first sip from the bra, and I almost vomited.
Right, there is little tapioca balls on the bottom of it, and you have to know going in. You could say, "I don't want any pudding on the bottom of my milk tea." If you could hold the pudding.
No, that's not pudding. First of all, that's not pudding. It's little balls. And
they went it's right tapioca. On my throat.
It was terrifying, and I'm never going back in. I won't make that request. I think they tried to assassinate me.
They did. Anyway, but I did listen to a book on tape that I'm almost done with because it's been, 3 hours of driving every day, which is why my throat is a little scratchy, I think. Uh-huh. Even though it's been super fun. One night, Brian likes to hang out, afterwards, and he has a tour bus. So he can hang out and then go home and fall asleep on his bus. So not last night, but the night before, Gary Brightwell came down. Gary Brightwell opens for him too. So yeah. Gary Brightwell and his girlfriend or wife, very nice woman, they came. And they all, right after the show, they went and saw Sam Morrill?
Oh, yeah.
He was at the Improv. Okay. And Blair Soci opened for him. That's the interesting part of that story for me. I don't know. I mean, I've met Sam.
He's a nice guy, super funny. And during the pandemic, he kind of he self-released a couple things, and that really sort of pushed him.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he has a podcast with Mark Normand where they get people drunk and then they talk to them. So, Well, and that's clearly just jealousy. That's why I don't want to go see Squirrel. So I didn't go. They all went, and I just drove home because it was an hour to drive home, and I had been in my car all day. And then last night, though, we went across the street to the College Kid Mall, and we went to a weird restaurant-y bar that had the split happy hours. You know how happy hour used to just be like 3 to 6? It's happy hour. And now there's a 3 to 6 and a 9 to close. Especially in a college.
The hours?
Yeah. There's like essentially from 6 to 9, you have to pay full price. And so it was very silly. But we went and hung out and that was really fun. And now Andy's going to come with me to Oxnard, supposedly. And I'm pretty psyched about that. Because we might go to dinner before and then hang out. And then I think that Brian's just going to, they're going to drive to Vegas tonight because he lives in Las Vegas.
Oh, wow. So he has a driver that's going to drive him?
Yeah, in his bus. Yeah. Yeah. He's got a bus that has essentially just a like a little suite in the back. Then there's bunk beds for the rest of us.
Yeah.
And Gary Cannon came last night. And he crashed out in one of the bunk beds overnight.
Cannon?
Yeah.
All right. I love it. All of comedy's best Garys are showing up.
All the Garys. Gary Lucy did not show up. I will say that Gary Cannon, for some reason, so Brian was asking because Gary Cannon does a lot of warm up stuff.
Yeah. And he was warm up on Conan for a long time.
Yeah. And so Brian says to me, "Have you ever done warm up?" And I was like, "Once." And Gary Cannon goes, "Ricky Lake. You did warm up for Ricky Lake." And I was like, "How do you? I don't even remember who I was doing warm up for. All I know is a daytime, but it did it show, and it was a nightmare. And when I was done doing it, they said we probably won't have you back." And I was like, "Fair enough. This was a disaster because I didn't. It's a learned skill, right? I always when I talked to Brody Stevens about it because he used to do it, and though his attitude eventually was hilarious. Like I think." The way he finally got it, because when he first started doing it, he would come to Lulu's and do sets, Brody, and he was so tired and so sick of placating audience members, he would just attack the audience.
Yes.
And the audience was like, we are not the, just because you just spent 7 hours, you know, trying to wrangle Sports Center people audiences, it's not my fault. Right. But eventually Gary Cannon actually said that Brody would threaten to kick people out if they weren't enthusiastic enough.
I love it. Conan was a sweet gig for the warm-ups because they just did like 20 minutes up front and left.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a set. You got to actually do a set and then leave.
Yeah. Yeah, and
Pardo did it for a couple of years too, didn't he?
Yeah, for a long time. It was a Monday through Thursday. Then you had your weekend gigs. I'm like, Jesus, sign me up for that one too.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I've been in a van with Atsuko Okatsu and Ryan, her husband, a couple times, and we did. This wasn't a band story actually, but we were both doing like promo, like for the digital stuff.
Oh, right.
For the festival. And so I was finishing up my interview and she was coming in and she sat down and it was kind of sweet because she's been doing a shitload of promo, right? So she's exhausted and she just sat down and Ryan just told everyone her name is pronounced Atsuko Okatsu.
Yeah.
and
he made the announcement and that's awesome.
Like, he didn't have to. I was like, you know what? That's worth having a husband for, I think. To take care of these things that exhaust you and tire you out. I thought that was really sweet. And everyone pronounced her name correctly. And then what else? We did a Reductress panel. Do you know the website Reductress?
I forget.
Yeah. They have a lot of, they put a lot of stuff out on Twitter and, it's female, a feminist, you know, female oriented. Yep. female writers, and really funny. So we just were on a panel with Sarah, who runs it, and Courtney Gilmore, who's also a writer for it and a Canadian.
Yeah, I know Courtney. She's great.
Yeah. So that was kind of fun. That was my daytime activity today.
Okay.
I'm gonna go work out after this one, and then huddle up and go over my shit and do another set tonight at the Comedy Bar.
Did you run into Asko? Do that thing where you drop. Can you do that thing where you drop? You know that thing that she does.
I know what it is, and
I meant to do it at Moon Tower and I forgot. Plus, I don't know if I'd be able to get up.
It depends. My knees go in and out of being like yesterday I walked 2 miles to a swimming pool at mm-hmm. Garrison Park, and the pool was bananas. There was I don't know if this might not mean anything to you, but our swimming listeners will understand what I'm talking about. They had lane ropes for every other lane. So you had to swim down one half of the lane and then swim up the other. So it's you could have fit twice as many people in the pool had you put in all the lane ropes, right? So it's wavy, it's madness. So people are getting, the fast lane is like 15 feet wide, and people are self-evaluating if they're fast. And but whatever, I got my swim in, but just walking 2 miles, my knee hurts so much at the end of the 2 mile walk. I'm like, this is fucking ridiculous. Why? I don't understand. And not my other knee, just one knee. And, but by the time I got out of the pool, it felt better. Maybe. And I was like, oh no, it's just a gravity thing. You know, if I'm in water, it there's no weight pulling on it.
Right. And maybe you got to stretch it a little bit before.
I guess, but I don't want to be a problem in my life. Okay.
No. And did you walk back?
I did.
And it was okay? Yeah.
No, it hurt again. And then
it hurt again.
You know, I don't have a bathtub. There's a bathtub here, and I got some Epsom salts. And
yes.
Felt good.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Felt good.
That's good times. I was thinking, you know, my sister. So it's my sister's birthday, the 27th. Yeah. And she does, for her own birthday, she takes herself to the nerdiest convention ever created. It's a talking head political pundit
convention. I saw her tweeting from that about seeing Soledad O'Brien. And I'm like, what are you doing there?
she loves. It is, I don't even know if there's a Hall C. I don't know what the merch situation is like. But she goes and she's like, I'm going to get to see Liz Cheney today. And I was like, oh, ew, weird. And every name she says, I'm like, I vaguely know that name. And so, but she takes, it's in Austin. It's like, it's sponsored by like the Texas Tribune or something. And so it's 3 or 4 days of just watching nerds, like political pundits
talk. It's
like
Moon Tower for politics, basically.
Yeah. It's Comic-Con for political podcast nerds. And I was thinking you might actually enjoy that just because you know all those people are. But I don't know that you would ever want to go to a con.
No, I'm not really sure. I mean, I've never, I'm used to being talent, Jackie, not audience. I don't know that I can make this.
Did you
shift.
Just call yourself talent? That's a line from Groundhog.
I was referred to talent a couple times today, and I'm like, you know what? I like this. More calling me talent.
I like it. That's hilarious.
So yesterday, I took down a tweet. Okay, I started getting some heat for a tweet.
Heat for a tweet.
I'm like, you know what? This, I stand by my tweet, but it's probably something for conversation in a long car drive and not for Twitter. You know, when you go, oh yeah, this is
I miss that.
Who don't know me, who don't like this topic, but if we were trapped in a car, I would, you know, bring it up and keep poking you about it.
Was it Israel? Was it Israel?
No.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, not a chance. No, anyway.
Hunter Biden is a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, it wasn't the one about his brother.
Yeah.
You took that down?
Yeah, because I just was like, when you look at that family dynamic, I feel like I've seen this movie where Beau Biden is the brother who died of a brain cancer possibly caused by the burn pits he was near in Iraq. Okay, hard to tell, but I mean, what are the odds? And he's like, he was the one that's like, he was on the track, the success track, right? You know, marriage, stable guy, attorney general of Delaware, you know, like marching towards presidency. That's what it felt, right?
Right. He was, because all those families are all legacy families, right? So they're just, okay.
Yeah. And then Hunter, not, right? Hunter. Yeah. Hunter's a different guy, right? Yeah. So, of course, and Beau Biden dies of this terrible brain cancer. And so Hunter's the surviving brother. And I swear to God, I've seen a movie where the survivor is like, you know, saying to his dad, you love so-and-so, but you know, like, I'm like, this story is, it's their actual lives, but it's an iconic story.
Right.
And I'm like, is this Shakespeare or Greek drama? Is it Neil Simon? Is it funny in a way?
Right, right.
What is it? And so, but you know, honestly, maybe that's just a conversation for the car and not
because people were like, oh, Hunter Biden's the best, or what were they?
Okay, so
what were the responses to that?
There's a lot of people that I know were like, Hunter Biden is an addict. He's doing his best. He had brain trauma from the car accident. It's like, I understand that.
Right, right.
Okay, got it. And you know what? Maybe he'd even see this tweet and somehow it would get in front of him. And I actually don't want...
Too soon. So, some of
that. Also, you know, you think of people like these celebrities or people in these stories, they're players in this drama that's going on in front of you. You, the viewer, the person. And you don't actually expect to interact with any of them, right? Right? Okay. So I'm like, I'll take it down. That's fine. I get it. I understand. But it's like in the same feed on Twitter, there's people, you know, quote tweeting Don Jr. and they're going, "This guy's on crack. He's on cocaine. Ha ha ha." He probably is. Now, here's what we know about his parents, Don Jr. Don Jr.'s a piece of shit. Okay. But both of his parents physically beat him, and he was raised by awful people. So it's just so weird. I got hit by a lot of, you should have more empathy for Hunter Biden. How dare you make this tweet by people who probably are also quote tweeting, look at this fucking addict snorting whatever he's saying and talking about his dad. Like,
right.
They're both characters.
Right.
In the play that we Americans are watching.
Okay? Right.
They're both sons of presidents. They're both fucked up. Mm-hmm. And I feel like treating them equally as like incredible, weird, crazy spectacles of a presidency. And it seemed, you know, I understand why no one has any empathy for Don Jr. because he's garbage. And I'm sure Hunter Biden, he seems fun and nice and stuff, but I'm not supposed to make a joke when the president's son goes naked down a water slide with two hookers. I'm supposed to have empathy. I can't make a joke. What the fuck?
Well, you know, and the difference, part of the difference is that Hunter Biden, of course, 52 years old, and Eric Trump or the other one, they're like the shit.
He's like in his late 40s.
Well, Eric is 38, supposedly, right?
I don't know. I don't know their ages.
Yeah, but they're
in his 40s. But I mean, okay, you know, it's like
Hunter Biden, you're entirely correct. You are you. Yeah, yeah. The you're supposed to have sympathy for one and not the other, and they both have the same horrible problems, except for that Joe Biden's not a monster, like douchebag nubjob. But so. Yeah,
it was just,
so you
it
just
was
pulled
just,
it
like,
down. Yeah,
I pulled it down because I'm getting a lot of, I was very disappointed. You know, I am uncomfortable with this take. It's like, but okay. But, I mean, again, I see where people are like, hey, have some empathy for him. I do. What happened to him and his family is horrible. But it's just, it was just interesting that I got a lot of people disappointed in me for, you know, some Hunter Biden's slams. And no one ever been disappointed when I slammed one of the Trump kids who were raised by monsters.
I wonder, yes, and I wonder this, as a lateral topic, is if you're 52 years old and you come from muckety muck, legacy, fabulously wealthy people, and has Hunter Biden never been to therapy, like rehab or therapy, or I mean, he's got silver spoons coming out of every orifice. You would think that they would kidnap him and throw him into a deprogramming, you know, thing at the very least.
I think he's been to the therapies, and it seems like
and the rehabs.
Jackie, this guy, like he hooked up with his brother's widow. Okay.
Ooh, Hunter?
Yeah. Yeah. Bo's widow. They were out for a little while. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Then he gets some, he got somebody in Arkansas pregnant, like kind of like a quickie. So he has a child from that there. He has children from, it's like, he is a mess. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to be a professional comedy writer. I'm already not making jokes about people's appearance. Okay. But this actual behavior, I'm not allowed to make fun of.
Right. There's money on the table. You don't pick that up. What are you, nuts? And so you just want to taste a little bit of the vig.
Yeah.
And, so yeah, that's nuts. Yeah. I don't, there's no, you know, maybe we all just got to write jokes about giraffes. I don't know.
Well, no, here's endangered. But the thing is also Twitter is a different audience than your club audience, you know, and your club audience, you get a feel for them, and your Twitter audience, a lot of them have, they don't know you. They just see your little words. And if you haven't put all the nuance into every single tweet, they're going to be like, this is very disappointing. I'm disappointed that you would tweet this.
Yeah. I'm disappointed that it didn't do better. How about that? How about I get out? It's
I only took it down because I was like, all right, it could get in front of him. And whatever. It's this is a conversation. It's not a tweet because
I found myself the last couple of days, literally just, you know, I'm looking at tweets, I'm scrolling, and then someone will say something. I'll see a really kind of pointed good point about the world or some political thing or some social thing, and I will retweet it, and then in the responses there'll be some dingbat who is just like being mean to the person who tweeted the thing that made sense. And I in the last couple of days have been like, oh, I will be writing a tome response to this. And if you don't get it, I will block you. And I was like, hey, you handed out assignments here? What are you doing? And, but I have been feeling like I'm not being super nice on Twitter the last couple of days. I'm just, I'm tired.
Yeah, we're all tired.
Hey, let's take a break. And but you should all come back because we'll have more energy after this break.
Hi, I'm Hal Loveland.
And I'm Mark Gagliardi.
And we are the hosts of We Got This with Mark and Hal, the weekly show where we settle the debates that are most important to you.
That's right. What arguments are you and your friends having that you just can't settle?
Apples or oranges?
Marvel or DC?
Fork versus spoon?
Chocolate or vanilla?
Best bagel?
What's the best Disney song?
We Got This with Mark and Hal. Every week on Maximum Fun, we do the arguing so you don't have to.
Oh, all answers are final for all people for all time. We got this.
Hi, Jackie Cation here. Tired of the same old game nights? That's on you. Mix it up. Looking for a fun new activity to do with your family, your partner, your friends, or by yourself. Wow, this is a solo game too. That's awesome. Hunt the Killer. It's called Hunt a Killer, and it's for you. You solve a murder. You hunt a killer. You get to be the detective. That's right. You sort through evidence, piece together clues, solve the case with immersive murder mystery game. The games come with dossiers. Dossiers. Hello. A map, evidence, and more to help you crack an unsolved case. There's dozens of standalone mysteries, or you can subscribe to an immersive multi-part crime case. Oh, you know I'll play it. Yeah, because you want to join the hunt. I love a murder mystery. So join the hunt today. So if you go to huntakiller.com /JackieLaurie and use the code JackieLaurie, you get $10 off your purchase. That's huntedkiller.com/JackieLaurie. I love Hunting Killers. I love being the detective. I watch all of those shows. I read all of those books. I want to play this game. huntakiller.com, JackieLaurie, for $10 off your purchase. And what about the comic of the week?
Oh, it's our friend OG Nancy Ryan. She's
OG
Nancy Ryan on Twitter, which she apparently barely uses because smartly, I'm going to add.
Yeah.
Her last tweet was August of 2020 on Instagram. But she was an East Coast comic for a really long time. I met her in New York, and I'm not sure she's from New York or maybe Boston, but she's an East Coaster for a long time. She's married to John Bizarre. Do you know John Bizarre?
Not offhand, but who is he?
He's a comic. You've seen a headshot. He was all over. He worked every single club in the 80s and 90s. You've seen his headshot. I'm sure I have.
His name is so familiar that I'm sure I've met him.
Yeah. And so they're married, and she is, last week I checked, she was working at a burlesque show at the Flamingo Hotel, like doing,
oh wow,
I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, you know, in between or whatever. I'm not really sure, but it's a regular gig. You get to do your time and then, you know, do your fucking whatever other spots you want to do afterwards. It seems like if you want to stay in Vegas, there's a lot of paid work once you.
Well, didn't Ron Vi move there, and he's working out of it, and he's flying out of it, which I guess is a lot easier.
Don't mention the Vegas airport to me for one more month.
Okay, one more.
Sensitive to it.
Okay, so last week, so this very week, right, which I, like, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm with Regan. Monday, yeah. Tuesday, I did the belly room for Felicia Michaels. I did that Age Against the Machine.
Yeah.
And then I did that late night third wheel.
Yeah.
Which is also an open mic. So, but it's got one 10-15 minute spot that's paid, you know.
Yeah.
Pays a couple of bucks, and then they give out 10 minute sets, and you know they do lottery like the improv open mic where everybody puts their name and then they pick it as you go, and then at the end of the night they pick one. You got a guaranteed spot next week, but they're they're 10 minute spots, and there's 8 of them, and I was like, oh, I would go to this if I wanted to stay, and and that's from 8 to 10, and then from 10 to from 10 to midnight.
Yeah.
And then from midnight to 2, they're 3 to 5 minute spots that they don't run. It's a different open mic.
Wow.
And it's great for people whose day jobs are like service industry, right? They work at a bar or a hotel or whatever. They get off late.
For sure. Of course.
And I was talking to Bamford, and I was like, I wanted to stay, but I was so tired. And all these comics that were hanging out doing these 10s, and then obviously doing these 5s later, 3 to 5s, are in their 20s and 30s. And Marie's like, remember in your 20s and 30s how much energy we had for open mics? And I was like, I really did. I could work a day job and then go do a mic or two and then go home and do it again. And I can't do it anymore, but it was really cool. The weird thing is, so I go to do the belly room at the Comedy Store. And so I look for parking. It's always a thing. The parking,
right.
Cannot find it. Both lots within like 2 blocks each way are full.
Oh,
There is that lot that's straight up that is $20, but you could also
now
16. Okay. 16. Okay. So, but it's 20, it's 18 to valet park.
Oh, okay.
So guess who has $4? So I pull up and I valet park at the hotel, which is what that's attached to. I get out of the car. I walk to the belly room and I'm like, oh, I'm going to want a soda. And so I forgot my wallet. I don't have my wallet.
No.
Right. I don't have my wallet. I don't know if the valet takes Apple Pay. And
So
I'm a little twitchy. And so I run by at least 6 comics who say my name. And I have that thing where I don't know anybody's face anyway. And I'm just like, I gotta find Felicia. And so I go up and I find Felicia and I'm like, Felicia, I need money. I can Venmo you money, but you have to give me some cash because I don't have any. And she's like, well, what do you need? I said, well, I have another set after this. So I genuinely need like $100. Like I get twitchy.
What?
Like $100? And I was like, if I don't have any money, it's 20. And then I don't know if I'm going to have to pay another 20 for the other place to park.
Yeah.
And then I have money issues. Anyway, so she goes and I'm like, and so then I have to figure out her Venmo, but at least I calmed down afterwards. And the show was very fun. Mark Brazil was there. He was hilarious. It was a great lineup. I had to leave for my next show, so I didn't get to see Doug Benson. But Doug Benson, he's grown his hair out. His hair is beautiful. He has long locks.
No, long black hair.
Yeah, it is gorgeous.
He's finally looking like a stoner. Finally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's made the commitment. He might be smoking a little more pot. That's actually physically impossible. But then the next night I have a set. Oh, for Liam McEnany.
Yeah.
At the Improv, and so I go to the Improv. I say hi to people. I say hi to Rita. Aaron is there. And yes. By the way, so at the Belly Room, I walk up and I'm twitchy about no money, no wallet. And Emily comes up to me, who books the comedy store. And she's like, Jackie, it's Emily. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And so we hug and whatever. And then the next night I go and I'm in the bar and Aaron comes up to me and I'm like, hey. And she goes, Jackie, it's Aaron. And I'm like, oh, yeah, all right. But I don't see these people for years. Like,
yeah, right.
But Aaron said to me, she said, there was a guy, a younger comic who was talking to me. And I'll tell you about that in a second. But Aaron was like, said something. He was really sad, so I introduced him to Aaron in an effort to make him less sad, the young comic that I was talking to.
Right.
And so I mentioned something about that email blunder she made.
Oh yeah,
where she didn't do BCC, she CC'd. And she goes, I said something about a mistake, an email mistake. And she said, oh, did you see that? I can't believe I did it. And I said, the kid looks at me, the guy looks at me, and I go, it was a BCC CC error. And she goes, oh, not that one. It was a new one. And I was like, what was it? And she was like, I have to go. And she came back. Right. I don't know what it was. And
boo.
I know, boo. I have half a story. I'm so sorry. But the rest of the story is this young man in like early 30s, right? Late 20s, early 30s, very handsome.
Yeah.
And telling me that he told me that we had done a show together. And I, of course, am like, of course we did. Of course we did. I'm sure he was like, we chatted. We were on the rooftop. So, hey, if anybody wants to pretend that they know me, you can, because he didn't. We had never met. He didn't do that show. And he just approached me and just said that we knew each other. And so we're talking and he's telling me that he's living in his car and he just lost his job and he's bumming. And I was like, oh, that is a drag, man. And then people come over. Aaron comes over. Other comics come. And I'm like, well, I got to go do a set. But I'm keeping an eye on my watch. He starts the next round. He had been in jail in Brisbane, Australia, 3 months earlier, or last year for 3 months, something like that. And he paid off all of his debt. And then he got in a bunch of other debt. And so he starts another round of stories. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I have to go do my set. I'm so sorry. And he's like, oh, I thought we were talking. And
what?
I was like, no, I know. So I go into the lab and I do my set. I come back and I'm the two people who booked the room that he said that we met at are there. And I was like, oh, do you remember this guy? And this is where we met. And we worked together at your show. That's so weird that you're here. And he turns around and bugs off. And the woman who books it goes, I don't know him. He's never worked our room.
Oh,
and
my
I was like, oh, that's so weird. He also told me that he opened for Bill Burr last month. And so I go to do my set. I come back out and she's like, he didn't open for Bill Burr. He was on a lineup with Bill Burr in LA. And
oh,
I was like,
no.
It's like pathological lying. And I was like, I don't even know what to do with that. So I
book in a hot room in less than a year. Stay friends.
So, right. He can fill rooms. So I go up to.
You said pathological liar. I knew he would be successful.
Whatever it was, he comes up and he starts telling me again about some other problem. And finally, I was like, you know, I got to go home. I have an early morning tomorrow. I got to figure out some stuff. And he was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, do you want a hug? And so I don't know. I gave him a hug. And so I.
He wanted you to take him home, Jackie.
Karen Kilgariff told me that he wanted money. And she was like, did he pick your pocket? And because.
Wait, is that why you lost your phone? Or is this
no, that was the next night. It was the next night. My wallet. But I found my wallet. I just left it at home. So. But I was like, oh, I bet you he might have wanted money. I don't know what he wanted. All I know is that, so I hug him, and then we're all kind of standing there, and I'm like, all right, well, I'm gonna go, but my car is in that lot, and I don't necessarily know he's creepy, but I know he's a pathological liar now, so I don't necessarily want him to walk me to my car.
No!
So I talked to the other booker, the couple, and I'm like, where's your car? And I made them walk into my car. And yeah, so it was a weird, but I've decided that I might be a Soviet dead letter drop. You know, I mean, I might be so clueless that I could be like one of those spy dead drops where somebody leaves something in my pocket and then somebody else would come by and say, can I get a hug? And then they'll pick it up. And then all of a sudden, I'm somehow in charge of cryptocurrency.
You're being executed.
That's my story. Oh, well, hey, let's take a quick break.
Most game shows quiz contestants about topics they don't even care about.
But for more than 100 episodes, the Go Fact Yourself podcast has asked celebrity guests trivia about topics they choose for themselves.
And introduced them to some of their personal heroes along the way.
Oh my gosh.
Shut up.
Oh, I feel like I'm going to cry.
Oh my stars.
It's so, so exciting.
Join me, J. Keith Van Stratton.
And me, Helen Hong, along with guests like DJ Jazzy Jeff, Yardley Smith, Roxanne Gay, and so many more on the trivia game show podcast, Go Fact Yourself.
Twice a month, every month on Maximum Fun.
Oh, so then I was sitting in a green room, you know, not conversing, just listening. Just comics were sharing stories about opening for gigantic acts in stadiums.
Oh my God.
And I was silent because I didn't have a story.
Right.
And I was depressed because I never will have that story. Because here's what this is what I've gleaned. There a lot of the comics that work stadiums also play music, right? And what they'll do.
What? Who? Names. Type me some.
Jackie, these are people you know. Hold on.
I know, but
I had to turn my phone, my iPad around to chat. It's right. Wait, where's my chat?
Well,
this is not worth. Okay.
Okay, whatever. Tell me later.
And no, then, tell me
and
now.
Then, oh, good. Hmm. Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
okay.
Those guys are musical.
What? Don't yeah. you? Yes. Yes.
That's
all
weird.
Right. This
I knew. I know that a lot of male comics want to be rock stars, and I'm so
yes.
sorry.
Okay.
That's what it is.
So
okay.
What they want, and they also perform on their comedy shows. They perform music but they want someone they can jam with on the road.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is, my advice to young comics listening: pick up an instrument and a headliner who plays moderately well to poorly. Will take you on the road because they'll want to jam with you.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's boring on the road. All right. So
it is boring on the road. And yes. Heaven forbid they get any sort of interpersonal. Yeah.
No, don't get a flute. Don't get a wind instrument. You need to get a guitar.
Or I drums. Don't care if it's
rhythm gets no
a Casio. How about a roll up Casio? A roll up piano.
Jackie, I said guitar. These kids need to be learning to play guitar. And then I was like, yeah, all right. And then it just felt like, you know, how do I say this?
I say you just blurt it.
I think some older, it's great that they're giving younger comics opportunities. That's really cool. But I also feel like they're kind of bringing younger comics with them to make themselves look younger, right?
Okay.
That's all I was like, oh, I'm never going to be asked by these guys to be a stickian because I'm the same age as them.
Right. And what about this, though? And I can't believe that. I know that that second guy did one stadium, and I'm told it was a third full, but he enjoyed himself dearly. And but the other guy, I did not know that he does stadium.
I don't know, whatever, a big gigantic room with tons of people that doesn't look like Bill Martin.
or me. But here's what you should have done. Over the last 10 years or more, you have met more famous people than they will ever know. Mm-hmm. Like you throw those Conan guests at them, and
what?
You know, you have more famous people stories than
us. I don't
could.
Guess. No,
you
I could
have. Not no, one. No. Not one.
No.
You have no good guest story from Conan.
What do you mean a good? Oh, you mean it's just to add to the stories?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't.
Well, you should work on those, because I bet you do. Like, if you cull through some of your green room stories, you got to have good green room stories for you. How come you don't have good green room stories?
You know what? Because I don't want to hear about your career in a green room. I don't want to hear about shit that's going wrong, okay? And then the next night, I was with someone who had some going wrong stories, and I'm like, these are my people. The other comics that are like, these are the cool things that are happening. I don't want to hear that. No one wants to hear that in a green room.
Well, but there are, granted, there are better. I mean, my favorite stories are the stories where, you know, like Leno is like, if you could get him started, I came in one time that I was like, start the story over, goddammit. Because it was a story of him performing live in 1971 at an outdoor rock concert opening for like a band, maybe even the band. Like, it was 1971, and his mic came unplugged, and it was a disaster, and it was a great story, and those are the stories, you're right, those are the stories I want to hear.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that you just signed with APA. Congratulations. Tell your
Thank
mom.
Thank you. Exactly. Yeah. That's when I was saying people that are optimistic about comedy, that's what I was talking about. It's that, everything's going up. I'm just climbing a ladder that's going to continue to go up. And let me tell you about what step I'm on. And it's like, I don't know. I've seen too many steps. I've been up and down the ladder. I know what's coming, or maybe it's not coming, but it'll be something different. And I've just,
and your knee hurts. No,
then my knee hurts from walking. I wasn't doing a drop challenge. I was walking. Okay.
Yep.
So being around that energy is draining for me. Being around negative energy is relaxing to me.
I think it was, what was the story? Because Brian was telling some story of the first gig he got.
Yeah.
And how he had been told that, like, coconuts or something, you know, he's in Miami. It's back in the day.
Yeah.
And somebody says, hey, there's a new club 120 miles from here. They're hiring comics. You should call. He's 6 months in.
Right.
And so he calls the owner, booker, me, and he says, well, you know, I do comedy. I heard you're booking comedy. And the guy goes, well, where do you work? And he was like, well, I work at the comic strip in Miami, whatever the big club in 1984 was, whatever. Right. And the guy's impressed. So he goes, well, I could probably have you this Friday. What do you charge? And he had never done a paid gig. And so he was like, I don't know, like $75? And the guy said, well, hang on a second. He was like, oh, I highballed myself. I should have said 50. I should have said I'll do it myself. And I said, I'd do it for nothing. And the guy comes back after a couple of minutes. He goes, well, I'll give you $100 in a hotel room.
Oh, my
and,
God.
And so he was like, that's when Brian Regan realized he wasn't good at negotiation. And
that's what they're paying now.
Right, right. And no hotel room.
Yeah, right.
And, exactly. And he had to do 30. So
I did, I did a show last, and then I tweeted about this and, everyone was like, who are you talking about? But it was, so there's several comedians now that are the children of famous comedians, right?
Oh, right.
That are doing comedy. And so one of them, and he's funny. But I was just looking at it as a point of view of the mother of a comic who's made jokes about her son for a long time, right? So
yep.
He had a bit about his dad's bit about him.
Oh, weird.
I was like, no, this can't happen. I can't allow this. Like, we need to make that illegal.
Right.
You cannot break down your parents' bit about you on stage.
Right. Right. That is pretty brutal. Are you working this week? When are you coming home?
Tuesday. Okay. Whatever I have is just local stuff in LA.
I am doing a benefit on Thursday. Bill Dwyer called me because he was like, you know that we're doing this benefit on Thursday in Palmdale. And I was mm-hmm. like, where is Palmdale? And he's like, not close. And I said, how did I say that I'd do that? He was like, well, it's for literacy. And I'm like, oh. That's why. And so we're going to carpool, Bill Dwyer and I. And that's Thursday night. And then Friday, I'm doing a Zoom show, KO Comedy.
Cool.
Sammy. And I think it's kocomedy.com. Is that what it probably is?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a Zoom show, and it's nice. It's San Francisco comics, but all over the country. So I think it probably starts at 7 or 8.
That's so, good.
Yeah.
On October 8th. So that's 2 weeks.
That's my anniversary.
Milwaukee. And I'm doing the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. It's a Sunday night show.
I am doing the Minneapolis Comedy Festival called 10,000 Laughs, October 7th and 8th.
Wait, then mine's the 9th because 7th and 8th is the weekend. Mine's the 9th. Yeah.
Okay.
The following weekend, I'll be in New York doing spots at the Stand on the 13th. So if you're in New York, come to the Stand.
Yeah, yeah. Where are we at here, Kyle?
We're just about there, actually.
Pretty close?
Yeah.
You got any sets this week?
I don't even know. I didn't even think to look.
Yeah, yeah.
Hope so.
Yeah. We all hope so. I have like 9 new premises, and I can't do any of them in front of a Brian Regan crowd. Because, first of all, they're not done enough. It's not fair to 1,200 people. And I'm not Brian Regan. So so don't do your brand new weirdo bits in front of that. And then.
No, this is a money week.
Yeah, that's what this is, for sure. Yep. A money week, and then get to watch the one of the very best, my friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to go be jealous alone then. Okay.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.